With the help of our Heavenly Father and in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I desire that we read from Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 22. Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 22, I desire that we read from the verse number 7, 7 verses. Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 22, we start our reading on the verse number 7. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, Go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat. And they said unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare? And he said unto them, Behold, when ye enter into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And ye shall say unto the good man of the house, The master saith unto thee, Where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a yard, large upper room furnished, there make ready. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. This far I desire that we read in our first reading. Our Heavenly Father is worthy that we bow down to worship Him in prayer and with praise. Heavenly Father, Thou art God, the Creator of the whole universe. Thou art holy in all that Thou doest, O Lord. To Thee belong worship and praise of the heavenly host and from all the faithful ones on this earth. Thou art worthy, O Heavenly Father, that we worship Thee. In spirit and in truth, Thou art worthy that we worship Thee, O Lord, with every fiber of our being, with love and gratitude, with praise and thanksgiving. O Lord God Almighty, we see that we are very weak, and so are our offerings, O Lord. And we need Thy help, Thy guidance, Thy instruction, Thy protection, O Lord. And we pray, O Heavenly Father, that at this moment Thou lovingly and graciously, as only Thou canst, open our hearts and minds to Thy holy word, that Thou, O Lord, open Thy heavenly treasure, and Thou bring forth the blessings and gifts of lasting values. And Thou, Lord God Almighty, make our heart a treasure of Thine, that our heart may be similar to the Ark of the Covenant, in which only the stone plates with Thy commandments were placed, and the vessel with manna, the testimonies of Thy great goodness and mercy, O Lord. Wilt Thou, O Heavenly Father, in this new covenant of Thine which Thou hast made in Christ, make our heart as Thy Ark of the Covenant, and fill our heart with Thy good and pleasant will. O Lord God Almighty, we pray that Thy Holy Spirit may fill our hearts, and Thy revelation to illuminate our minds, that the abundance of Thy blessings may be granted to us according to thy great goodness and mercy, O Lord. We pray that thou make us strong in faith and fill our hearts with love. Thou grant us that pure and holy heavenly love. Thou give us, O Lord God Almighty, love and patience, love and understanding, love and a forgiving heart. That in that love, O Lord God Almighty, there will be a good desire, a good word, and a good deed for everyone. And that in that pure and holy love of thine, which thou art giving to us in Christ, there be no desire for anything that is evil. Gracious Lord, thou make us strong in the faith of the holy prophets, this faith of the holy apostles, the only true and saving faith that worketh through love, faith in the perfect faithfulness of thy holy Son, our blessed Redeemer. We pray, O Heavenly Father, that that faith be unshaken by doubts and fears, that the flame of thy love may be strong and lasting, even so much that the difficulties and sufferings and bitterness of this life on earth may be sweetened, that we may also, like the Apostle Paul, say that we know not what we shall choose. For living in the flesh is bringing forth the blessed fruit. And living the flesh is going to be with thee, our Lord. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, thou grant us that blessed hope, as many generations were hoping, waiting, and expecting, that the glorious Messiah, the suffering one, the Redeemer, the Lamb of God, will come. That we also may join with all the faithful ones, our hopes and expectations, that thou art coming again as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That soon thou wilt come in glory as thine own people's King, to gather thy redeemed people, to rejoice in that glorious and blessed eternity, O Lord. We pray, O Heavenly Father, that that faith, love, and hope may be so strong that no power of darkness, neither force nor craftiness of our enemy can or ever could snatch us out and away from thy hand. May our treasure be there where our great high priest is in thy heavenly glory. And this life upon the face of this earth, as we are pilgrim journeying in the flesh through this valley of the shadow of death, may this life be to us a fruitful field, a battle where thou hast secured the victory for all that are thine. Gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, as thou hast sent thy Holy Son to be our Redeemer. And as thou didst hear the prayer that he has uttered from the cross, as the holy and pure and precious blood was shed for the remission of sins, for washing away of the filth of the flesh. O Heavenly Father, thou make us pure and holy. Thou make us Christ-like. And as thy Holy Son, thy beloved one, always did thy good and pleasant will, may always thy will be ours also. Thou, O Heavenly Father, grant us that unity of thy Holy Spirit dwelling in our hearts and ruling our lives, O Lord, that we may be one in Christ, as thou, the Father, and the Son, and the Spirit is one. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, may that unity be not in imitating and following one another, but thou grant us that we all together follow in the steps of the Savior. For to those that did believe in the name of thy Holy Son, O God, thou hast given the power to be the children of thine. So we pray, O Lord God Almighty, as thy holy face did shine through the holiness, righteousness, love and zeal of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that in the same way, O Lord God Almighty, his peace may fill our hearts, and his goodness and mercy, his love and strictness, faithfulness and zeal may fill our soul and body, that our soul may overflow with praises, that our heart may worship thee in spirit and in truth indeed, that our body be the temple of thy Holy Spirit, and we, O Heavenly Father, all together, to be united in that one desire to follow the Savior in self-denial, in despising vanity and pride, in rejecting the pleasures of sin, in abhorring transgression and trespasses, in loving thy commandments, in doing thy will, in helping one another and every other, in offering our soul and body, mind and spirit, as a true, sincere and faithful offering of continual worship and praise of thy great and holy name. O Lord God Almighty, may the message of the gospel be our way of living. May thy truth shine through our words and deeds, our manners and conduct. May May thy goodness and grace, O Heavenly Father, be given to every soul that thou hast redeemed. And thou, Lord, bless thy holy word. And may the voice of thy truth sound forth. O Lord God Almighty, may the message of the gospel, by the grace of the Savior, by the power of thy Spirit, touch the hearts, enlighten the minds, and move the souls from darkness to thy light, from sin to thy righteousness, from the world to Christ, from death to life everlasting. And thou, Heavenly Father, thou extend thy merciful hand, and thou lead as if hand in hand everyone that thou art calling unto thee. Thou grant that true godly fear and strong desire to sever the ties with the past and to forsake every evil. Thou grant, O Lord God Almighty, strength to overcome the enemy and to put to death everything that is deadly and dead in itself, that the seed of thy truth may grow, that a new life may spring into existence, that thy Spirit may prevail, O Heavenly Father, granting deep and sincere repentance, complete conversion, victory over sin and death, new life in Christ. And thou, Heavenly Father, fill their hearts with peace and joy of thy salvation. And now, Lord God Almighty, our loving Heavenly Father, as we lift up our eyes toward the place and time when our great High Priest and our great sacrifice for redemption of our souls was ministering to thy disciples and sharing the signs of that new covenant, thou grant us thy revelation and thy understanding. And thou once again, O Heavenly Father, fill our soul with gratitude and praises of thy holy name. O Lord God Almighty, in our great weakness, we see that we are not worthy of thy great goodness and mercy, O Lord, and yet thou art our reliance, and we trust in thy grace, and we pray, O Heavenly Father, that this wonderful love of thine, and peace and joy of thy salvation, and the fellowship of thy Spirit be multiplied to all thy children, and to each individual soul that thou hast redeemed. That there be one flock, as there is but one shepherd. That there be unity in the spirit of love and peace. That there be love and understanding. That thy people may be prepared in this day of thy great battle, in the beauty of thy holiness, serving thee and worshipping thee. and looking and watching, beholding that amazing and wonderful power of thine that is so gloriously completing the work of thy salvation, O Lord. So we pray that thou guide us and protect us, lead us and teach us, watch over us. Thou make us faithful and make us fruitful, that indeed in these last days the brightness of thy truth may shine forth and the power of thy Spirit be manifested in our lives, that we may walk in Christ, worship and glorify thy holy name this short pilgrimage of ours. And thus, O Heavenly Father, thou prepare us to worship thee and to glorify thy holy name in that glorious and blessed eternity. Amen. Amen. With the help of our Heavenly Father, I desire that we continue our reading from Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 22, under verse number 14, and let us read seven more verses. Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 22, we continue our reading under verse number 14. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you, this do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. This far I desire that we read in our second reading. And now, beloved, as we think about those days, that night, when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is instituting an ordinance for his disciples to commemorate or to continually renew the memory of his suffering and death, just before that suffering and death did take place. We may think, beloved, how mysterious the ways of the Lord are, that he made a feast, and that feast was prepared that each one of them could take a morsel of bread, a small piece of bread, and then a sip of wine, and that was called a feast. Long time before that, the law, the law that the Lord has given to Moses, explained to some extent how can a feast be reduced or symbolized with such a small amount of food and drink. When they offered sacrifices, the ordinance was that with the blood of the sacrifice, the priest will sprinkle the book of the law, the altar, the temple, and the people. Now, we can understand clearly, as the priest was standing by the altar, and as he sprinkled in every direction the blood of the sacrifice, that not even one single drop fell on everyone that was in that congregation. And yet God did signify that way, that just their presence there, and just the sign of sprinkling, just that tiny portion of the whole sacrifice, was sufficient to indicate that all of them are included in the promises that were tied to that law and to that sacrifice that was offered. And I think, beloved, as we are today sharing the word of God and partaking of the bread of life, as our Lord said in the Gospel according to St. John, Gospel according to St. John in the chapter 6, we find that the Lord told to the Jews, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat the loaves and were filled." In another place, he said that they are seeking miracles. And here he is saying that they are not even seeking miracles, but to eat and drink and be merry. And then he gave them the instruction, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed." In this case, sealing means an ordinance, a will, that will not be altered or changed. As we did hear this morning, that the Lord has said, "Thou art a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." Then said they unto him, "What shall we do, that we might work the works of God?" You see, they tried to be a little bit more spiritual, but they missed the point again. They wanted to do miracles now, not only to eat and drink, but also to do some miracles. And the Lord said, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." And then they asked him again, "What sign showest thou? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." Then said they unto him, "Lord, evermore give us this bread." These are the people that are quickly changing, but only in words. Their heart remained uncircumcised. And Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that cometh to the Lord will have continual appetite for spiritual food, that will never starve. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Not that he will not have desire to drink from the fountain of life, but shall never be feeble or faint because of thirst. But I say unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. On the other hand, the Lord says, all or everyone that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my private will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he giveth me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up. Hardly could be explained, even in basic details, in a time much longer than the time that we have here. But in this verse number 40, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, the Lord desired that all those that believe on him have his Spirit in their hearts, and the Lord's truth of the gospel in their minds, and that they live and walk and serve the Lord. That anyone after the ascension of our Lord from the Mount of Olives, from that moment on, whoever would see the true Christians could see Christ in them, could feel that the truth and life, the message of God, is in their hearts. In verse number 44, the Lord said, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Lord is reaffirming that promise that none of his will be forsaken or forgotten. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. And that's that spiritual sprinkling. The teaching of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, even though we understand but a tiny, tiny portion of the complexity, the unsearchable wisdom and measureless power of the Word of God, these promises stand for everyone that is living and walking in Christ. Then he said, I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and never die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall have life forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. The Lord said this. He didn't say exactly the signs of this fellowship. If you don't eat the bread, if you don't drink the wine, the signs of that new fellowship, new communion in Christ, you will have no life in you. But he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Now, if we look into the Epistle of Romans, Epistle to the Romans chapter 7 verse 23, the Apostle Paul explaining the struggle, the battle, the war between light and darkness, between truth and lie, between life and death. He said in verse number 23, I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Now, which are the members where that sin lives? What kind of a flesh is that, beloved? For we know when the worst sinner died in his physical heart, there is no lust. His members are dead. After the death of a murderer, his hands are not rushing to another murderer. After the death of a fornicator, his feet are not moving on the path toward another fornication. The Lord is obviously not talking about his physical flesh, and yet his flesh is the way of his living in the flesh. Living the Son of God in the flesh of a man. So there are two different natures . One is the nature of Christ in those that believe the word of God. And the other is the nature of sin in the sinners that rejected the grace of God. And when a sinner has received that first grace of God to desire God's goodness, mercy and salvation, then there is a struggle. Two different natures are struggling against one another. So the Lord said, except ye eat the flesh, except ye receive, digest, and make your way of living my way of living, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh, my example, the way I walk and talk, the way I work and teach. That example is a real meal or meat indeed. And that teaching, the truth of the gospel, those unshaken facts that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ presented to us, that's the blood and the drink indeed. The blood of that new flesh, new man that is born from above. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me and I in him. That's the new relationship, the new fellowship that we have in Christ, the new nature that we have in his Spirit. And then he says, as the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. And it's not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is not walking in the flesh anymore among the people upon the face of this earth. How are we going to see him? How can we believe on him? How can we hear his voice and understand his words? That our soul may feast upon the table of his grace and live that new life in the wilderness of this world. Just as the Ark of the Covenant was covered with gold and filled with the commandment of God and with a dish in which was manna that was preserved fresh for many, many generations. So is a soul that is living and walking in Christ covered with the pure gold of his righteousness and his love, and filled with his commandments, and inside of that new creature that is being prepared for the heavenly mansions, inside of that soul is that well of living water and manna from above. This bread and this wine, the Word of God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, his presence in the hearts where his Spirit is dwelling and ruling their lives. When the disciples heard these words, the words were told to the Hebrews. Many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is an hard saying. Who can listen to that?" And the Lord Jesus Christ answered to them, "Does this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before?" And then he said, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." You see, he's talking about his flesh and blood as the bread of life and the real drink or power of life. And then on the other side, he's talking about the flesh that profiteth nothing. That's a different kind of flesh. And not once or twice, but many times, the evil spirit will try to deceive those that are seeking God's ways and try to make them feel as if they are going to suffer loss if they walk on the way of salvation. It seems sometimes that with all the things that we give up in self-denial, we could serve the Lord much better. But it's not the truth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The Lord will never, never ask any one of His children to give up anything that would be better for that soul to keep. So this that seems to be self-denial is really finding the abundant treasure in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, as we read in the Gospel according to St. Luke chapter 22, the time came when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is going to celebrate the last Passover feast with His disciples. They are going to eat the meat of the Passover sacrifice. They're going to eat that sacrifice exactly as it is prescribed in the law. And that tells you exactly what happened. All the pictures that you see are a mockery of the truth. Because the law says, this way you shall eat it. Standing, prepared for a long journey, and hastily. And you see the pictures that all the disciples are sitting and talking or doing something else. Just not what we find in the scripture. The last Passover was celebrated by the Lord, and never after any true and real biblical Passover was celebrated. For it was fulfilled that night. The Lord said, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not anymore eat thereof, this is verse 16, until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And so He took that Passover cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves, closing the celebration of the Old Testament Passover feast. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And He took bread and gave thanks. He broke the bread in small pieces and gave it unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In verse number 18 again, I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And then He is taking bread in His hands. He gave thanks to the Lord, Heavenly Father. He broke the bread in small pieces and gave it to His disciples, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. When? From now on. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood which is shed for you. So the New Testament is marked, or the beginning of the New Testament, the blood of the Lord has not been shed yet. And yet, within himself, our Lord and Savior is already prepared for that bloodshed. He's already, in a way, experiencing the near future that will come to pass shortly. Then, as one of the Psalms says, that as many grains make one loaf of bread, so many members constitute one body of Christ, indicating close unity that should be among those that are the disciples of the Savior. The Lord is teaching here in the following verses: the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve. Verse 26 and on. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth. We see the Lord in this new feast of the New Testament, Passover, is not sitting as one to be served, but he himself was serving his disciples. And then he said to them, ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations, and I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, how many people would like to be sitting and judging? And how few would like truly, indeed, to serve? For the Lord said, ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations, and I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me. So we see that as the food of those that are in Christ is Christ, so the power of ruling and keeping order of those that are in Christ is the Word of Christ. And the ministry of those that are in Christ is to serve the Lord, serving one another. When the disciples came to the well of Jacob in Samaria, and they asked the Lord, Master, eat, or teacher, eat, the time is past for the meal. And he said, I have a meal to eat that ye know not of. And then they wondered, did anyone give him something to eat? And the Lord explained to the disciples, my meat is to do the will of my Father. So, for us to eat that bread of heaven and to drink his blood is to do the will of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Indeed, should keep in our memory that His blood was shed for us to wash away our sins. And the ransom was paid with sufferings that cannot be measured nor described. And we should never, never think the grace of God is cheap. We can do the will of the flesh, for His goodness and mercy is going to cover everything. Everyone that is playing with the grace of God is ignorant of the grace of God. And everyone that in an unworthy manner drinks that cup and eats that bread, condemnation or judgment to himself or herself, is eating and drinking. In the 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 and on, Paul the Apostle is teaching the disciples, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." And then the apostle is explaining, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, in a sinful manner, disrespectful manner, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." So that feast and that ordinance was given to the apostles by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the apostles have instructed the disciples after them and recorded this ordinance in the book of the Scripture of the New Testament for the people of the Lord that eat and drink the spiritual food, the Word of God, and are obedient to the Spirit of the Lord, to make that feast a spiritual feast with very modest, minimal physical signs and symbols of that true, abundant feast of the Word of God. In my limited understanding, I believe that I understand only a small, tiny portion of that great and wonderful Word of God, the Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And in this short but extended time, think that a tiny portion of that small portion I share with you. May the Lord add to each heart and to each soul much more, and prepare all of us, each individually, so that we can continually partake of the bread of life and drink from that fountain of life and be filled with that new life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And let that be our continual commemoration of his suffering and death, as we are eagerly expecting his second coming as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to whom belong worship and praise, honor and glory forever.